This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom aleichem, bruchim habaim. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Mishpatim. The shiurim of Tavshin Hei Vav are dedicated by the Israeli family. Le'ilei Nishmas, Malka Bas Yosef, B'gan Eden Tem Nuchasa, Shishavim Litzi Shavro, family Abiyas Gal Tzedek, Sefer Shemais is dedicated by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta, Le'ilei Nishmas, Rav Shomel Yezman, Rav Yaakov Zakim. Le'ilei Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tavya Levi, and Rav Dovin, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Akoy. And this week's shiur is dedicated by Mishpacha Strasfeld, Le'ilei Nishmas, Chaim Meir Ben Meir Mendelssohn. His yahrzeit is tonight.
My father.
Mrs. Strasfeld's father. Is that the name is right? Chaim Meir Ben Meir Mendelssohn?
Yeah. His father died 3 weeks before he was born. So he actually was Meir Ben Meir until he got sick and we had to Chaim.
Wow. Okay. His neshama shav and aliyah. Shabim Meilat Yosh for your whole family. For Simchas Anachas Abi Eskar Tzedek. Tonight's shir is dedicated by my good friend Rav Joey Baghdadi in honor of Rabbi Raymond Haber Shlita. Thank you very much. Tonight's shir is dedicated by my good friends Rav Aryeh and Michelle Jacobson, Leila Nishmas, Aryeh Zeda, Hillel Ben Chaim Aroin for his 30th yahrzeit, and Leiloi Nishmas, Menucha Chaya Bas Amichai, whose first yahrzeit is both this Shabbos, Chav Zayin Shvat. Also, Le'ilei Nishmas, Rav Aryeh's great-great-grandfather, Rav Aryeh Leib ben Rav Yaakov, his 119th yahrzeit on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Next year is the big one. Wait till next year. B'gan Eden, Tehei Menuchasam, they should be Melitza Yisharim for the whole family. B'simcha Sanachas, Abi Eskal Tzedek. Okay, we have very important announcements. First of all, the new Sefer, Berachos HaTzedek, is now available in the United States of America. You can own a actual leather-bound Sefer. Normally, to own a leather-bound Sefer, they can mark this up $70, $100, $120, really. It's fully leather-bound. Same price as any Sefer. This is special material imported from Italy. Each printing is a different leather. It's actual leather, different cow. I can't get the same. One cow can't cover, you know, every box need different cows. Not every cow is the same color, you know? Anyway, it's now available. Tzadik Renana said, if you learn his Torah and you say it over, he'll save you from any Yeshua. Ritzvi Koshalevsky was zoicha to a nes l'mal l'mantav. He had a baby at 88 years old. One of the things he attributes it to the chidushim of the Tzadik Renana. Now, I have good news. The Sefer Magid Rakia on Purim is back in print. Now he's back in print. All of the ta'uyos of the first edition have been corrected and updated in the new printing. So that's available. Make sure you get for Purim, the concealed and revealed, big size, little size. And for the first time, Marbitze Torah 1. If you are willing to learn the Sefer, they will send you a free copy. Now, I love Marbitze Torah, because even if I spell it wrong on the shir, they will quickly buy up that email address so you could still get it. So it doesn't matter how I spell it. Marbitze Torah 1, you spell it XRW and email them, they're going to buy up. No, it's MARBITZEITORAH 1 at gmail.com. But it doesn't matter however you spell it, they've already purchased that email address so that they could send you the Sefer. Somebody just emailed Marbitze Torah 1 that they got Tzipisa Yeshua. They learned it. They learned it at the Kosel Maravi, and they were so inspired, they made Aliyah. I just got that message today. Yeah, I just got that message. Not just today, less than an hour before the shir. Anyway, okay. Now, that's a good skula. Yeah, it's a good skula to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now, I have to tell you that you might not like this year. I'm saying right up front, you might not like this year. As much as you don't like to hear not to bring your phone into the shul, which I don't care if you don't like to hear that, I'm not here to make you happy, okay? I'm here to tell you the truth. As much as you don't want, and I want to tell you another thing. Don't go to places, you can't daven in a place where people next to you are on the phone. You can't daven there. It's not a Beis HaKnesses. But as much as you don't like that, wait until you hear tonight's share, okay? Yes. Here we go. With that introduction. Whoa, okay. Yeah, that's right. So here we go. The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Verapa yirape," to which the Gemara learns out, "Mikan shenitein rishus l'roifei l'rapais." You shall surely heal. From here we learn that a doctor has permission to heal. The doctor has permission to heal. God gave him permission to heal. Now you would think maybe he doesn't have permission to heal. Hashem brought an illness, so who has the right to contravene such a thing? No, a doctor is given the right to heal. If you look throughout Shas, there are many remedies recorded in the Shas, in the seventh parak of Gittin, and in Mayi Katan, different food that have medicinal practices. And sometimes you learn, you say, should I try that? Should I, you know, roast a, you know, the worn out liver? You know, should I do these things found in the Gemara? So there's one Gemara in Mayi Katan that says, fish, as it's about to spoil, is very healthy. Fish, as it's about to spoil, is very healthy. Some shuls, they believe in this by shalashudas, you know? Fish, as it's about to spoil, is very healthy. So Tosfos says, nowadays, we don't quite maintain that. Nowadays, we hold that it's a sakana to eat fish when it's about to spoil. Says Tosfos, you know what it is? Maybe fish has changed its nature. Kamay harafui shabashas. Just like all the medicinal practices mentioned in Shas, she'inon toivos bizman hazeh. They're not good bizman hazeh. All the medicinal practices found in Shas are actually harmful bizman hazeh. So just like the medicinal practices found in Shas don't work today, so too this advice about fish is also no longer applicable. And then Tosfos says, you know what, it could be that those rivers in Babylon, they were much healthier than our rivers. Right, the rivers in Babylon, you should see how healthy those rivers are. The Tigris River, the Euphrates River. But you wouldn't say the same thing about the Hudson River. Right? Nobody would say the Hudson River, if you went fishing in the Hudson River and you pulled out a fish, you don't know, you know, it's covered in soot, it's covered in mud, it's covered in grime. We'll leave it at that. So the rivers in Babylon might have been healthier than our rivers, so therefore maybe those fish, as they're about to spoil, were healthy. Our fish, as they're about to spoil, are no longer healthy. In fact, the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo's commentary to the Rambam, he brings that it could be that all of the nature in Bavel, in Babylon, was very different than our nature. We don't know what their climate was like. We don't know what the air was like. We don't know what the water was like. So just because the Gemara gives us certain medicinal advice, it's no longer applicable. Okay, so far we're learning that certainly when the Gemara gave us medical advice, it was true in those times, but it's no longer applicable. Why? We don't know exactly why. Things changed. Maybe in Babylon things were different. The Marsha in Marsha has the following question. Well, if that's the case, why did Shas give us the medical advice in the first place? You know, why didn't Shas just say, stick to the halacha? Why did Shas give us the medical advice? The Marsha says the Gemara wanted to show that everything really inherently is in the Torah. The Torah has advice about everything. It just it happens to be the medical advice provided in Shas is no longer applicable. No, not only is it no longer applicable, the Yam Shel Shloimei, the Marshal, the Masechta Chulin says, Yesh Cherem HaKadmoinim. There is actually a Cherem of the early authorities, She'ein Lismoich HaRfuis HaTamad. Do not rely on medical information found in the Gemara. Why? Because what's going to happen when it doesn't work? People are going to speak derogatorily about the Chachmei HaShas, and people are going to disparage the Gemara. Therefore, we have an admonition. We have it is forbidden for us to follow the medical advice in Shas. It's actually a cherem kadmoinim, not to rely on medical information found in the Gemara. Moreover, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yaradea in Siman Shin Lamed Vav brings from the Maharil. The Maharil is the backbone of all the Piskei Ashkenaz, that all of the refuahs found in Shas, it is forbidden to try them. You're not even allowed to try it. It's Osir Lanasa says them, because if it's not going to work, you're going to disparage the Gemara. And there's no way in the world you could recreate the ingredients that the Gemara gives to make the different medicine, how to roast it and how to find it and what these items are. It's not going to work, and it's just going to bring bad attitude toward the Gemara. Except there's one piece of medical advice in the Gemara that you're allowed to follow. And not only allowed to follow it, it works every time. I've never seen it not work. And that is, if somebody has a bone stuck in their throat, let's say a turkey bone, what do? You bring that kind of bone. You bring a turkey bone. V'yaniach le'al karkada, you put it on the guy's head. V'yoymar hach, you say this. Chad chad, nachis. Bala bala, nachis. Chad chad. It works every time. I've never been proven wrong. Never did I see somebody try this and it didn't work. This is the only medical advice found in Shas they're allowed to follow. Everything else found in Shas, drop it. Every all other medical advice found in Shas, drop it like a hot potato. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, this implies that, now this practice of putting that same bone on the guy's head and saying, chad chad, noches, bala, bala, noches, chad chad, that implies it's a segula, which is mashma. Only this segula you're allowed to do. Other segulas you're not allowed to do. Now, there were segulas that Reb Chaim Kanievsky did recommend. I actually have a list of Reb Chaim Kanievsky's segulais, and the name of this kunshas is actually skulais amitiois mezuyafais, true skulais, scams. Tonight we're going to talk about scams. There were skulais Reb Chaim Kanievsky did believe in, like certain ones that are found in Shas. For example, Matzah Shabbos, to have something hot. Good to have something warm, Matzah Shabbos. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, that's because there's a logic to it. You're honoring the Shabbos, and the warmth of it is healthy. There's a logic to it. But all other superstitious kind of practices, even found in Shas, not only don't they work, you're not allowed to do them. Okay? Tonight we're going to talk about skulais. And many people have an attitude, well, what could be wrong? What could be wrong? Only your Judaism could be wrong. In other words, all the schools we're going to talk about tonight, if your mother isn't Jewish and you didn't convert, you could do them. But if you're Jewish, stay away. Stay away. I don't care what you saw from anybody, okay? And let's begin. Here we go. Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabin, you may have seen in some stores where some people try to convince you that the stones of the Choshen have special supernatural powers. They'll give you like this paper with little stones in a plastic, and it will say, this stone has the ability to inspire creativity. This stone enhances fertility. And actually, Rabbeinu Bechaye talks about it. So let's say in the Choshen, Reuven's stone was called Oidem. The reason it's called Oidem, it's like the color Edom, red. It was red. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says, the truth is this stone has a supernatural power that any woman who carries it will not miscarry. And if a woman's having a hard labor, it will facilitate her labor. And if you grind it up and you mix it into food and drink, it will help for conception, like the dudaim of Reuven. That's why Oidem is connected to Reuven. Therefore, it's spelled Oidem without a vav, because it's like Adam. So here, Rabbeinu Bachaye, he's one of the Rishonim. He's telling you, if you could get a hold of Oidem, it helps with fertility, it helps with difficult labor, it prevents miscarriage. Rabbeinu Bachaye, we learn all of our Hashkafa from Rabbeinu Bachaye. So should we try to get a hold of these stones, Ruvain stone, Shimon stone? It could only be helpful. After all, we follow everything Rabbeinu Bachaye says. So they asked Rabbi Chaim Knievsky. There's a widespread movement. You could probably go into any farm store today and you could buy, you know, probably for not too much money, a packet of the stones. And you might even be able to grind it up and put it in water. And there are many experts that could help you choose which stone you need. Says Rabbi Chaim, there's a cherem not to go anywhere near segulois, even mentioned by Rishonim. There's a cherem, which means it is usur to go near them. You cannot buy them. You cannot put them in your pocket. Don't hang them in your car. Don't put them in your wallet. Don't put them up on your door. Stay away. Stay away. Give it to your cleaning lady if you don't like her.
What is a cherem institute?
That sounds like the Yom Shel Shlomo. In other words, Yom Shel Shlomo is talking about there's a cherem not to use the ones in the Gemara. And Reb Chaim applies it to even in Rishonim. I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman said, the Reb Pam also said, do not do skulois even if they're mentioned in Rishonim. There's a cherem not to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Am I punished for doing it? Yes. Yes. You're not a violate charamim. Stay away from the stone. But Rabbeinu Bachaye mentions it. Okay. You're allowed to follow everything else in Rishonim, but not segulais. Then that's what Rav Chaim answered in the Sefer Skulais Rabbi Seinu. What about in the Sefer Derech Sicha? They asked Rav Chaim, it is widespread that the various stones of the Choshen help for many things. Is there anything to it? Says Rav Chaim, don't pay attention to this lunacy. Al tasim lev l'shtuyos ke'elu. Don't pay attention. Nobody knows about them. Next, handwriting analysis. Sometimes the chassan and kala, they go, they have their handwriting analyzed to see if they're compatible. And the questioner asked Reb Chaim Knievsky, there are people even in among the Uraim that go to graphologs to have their handwriting analysis to see if they're compatible. And sometimes the expert, the spiritual guru will say, no, you're not compatible. You're not compatible. So the question is this a violation of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Alekecha? Says Reb Chaim, this is a very nice Gentile practice. Jews do not have their handwriting analyzed. This is not a Jewish practice. Stay away from it. Do not analyze your handwriting. Next, you may see ads for people who sometimes are disturbed by ayin hara. After all, the Gemara says, Rav says, in Masechta Bava Basra, that out of 100 people, 99 die from ayin hara. So people get very anxious and worried about ayin hara. So is it a legitimate practice to go to lead pourers? Lead pourers. You ever hear about geese, right? Where they basically, they melt lead until they form like eyeballs. And the eyeball is supposed to represent the ayin hara, and then they pour it into water and they say certain doo-doo-doo-doo, and then the eyes melt, and it gets rid of the ayin hara. Now, you say you never heard of it? Baruch Hashem. Mi kamcha Yisrael. You never heard of it. Actually, there are ads for them, sometimes in Jewish magazines. In the Koivetz Beis Hillel, he brings that for about 200 years in Hungary they were doing it. It's a Hungarian practice. And then it came to Yerushalayim. Now you always have to watch out for Hungarian practices that make their way to Yerushalayim. To remove Ayin Hara through lead. And this Rebbe Elyo Bar Shalom said, I began to investigate, what is the source of this practice? Or is it a Gentile practice? Like many of the segulos against Ayin Hara, I investigated, I searched, I did not find any Jewish practice. And even the people who practice the lead pouring, I asked them, and they don't know anything, they don't know where it comes from. And even the rabbis who know about it, they just say, Ha'olam Oisin Kein, you know, the Welt does it, the Welt does it. But I was not able to find any source. Is it from the Jewish people? Or maybe it's Christian, because the Christians do it. The Muslims don't do it. They don't do anything idolatrous. The Christians do it. How could it be that Chazal knew about lead, and they knew the power of lead, and they knew the dangers of Ayin Hara? Why didn't the Chachamim say you should go pour lead if 99 out of 100 people die from Ayin Hara? And the rabbis knew about lead, and they knew how dangerous Ayin Hara. Why didn't the Gemara tell us how to pour lead?
Who attributes this to Hungarians? Why is it Hungarians?
I know, don't take it personally. These are the facts. These are the facts.
But I did it, by the way. I did it.
No.
Yes.
I hope you did tshuva.
Yes.
Okay. But, and this person said, I spoke to many admoirim, and all they said is, it's mekubal. What do you mean it's mekubal? It's not mekubal. We're Jewish people. We didn't mekabel this from Har Sinai. We didn't get this in the Gemara. And even I asked the lead pourers, they have no idea where they got it from. Now it happens to be, I investigated, and almost all the lead pourers are women. Now I'm just saying the facts. Nobody knows where it came from. And a lot of chiloinim do it. And his conclusion is, if a lot of Gedolei Yisrael know about it and they had no problem, we can't aser. I don't know about it. I don't agree with that. Because Reb Chaim Knievsky knew about it, and they asked him about it, and he said, you're not allowed to do it. Reb Chaim said, you're not allowed to do it. Period. Now, I will tell you that there is a tshuva in the Debrezina Rav, in Be'er Moshe Chelek Gimel. And he says it's okay. He brings a Me'iri. The Me'iri basically says that things that are folklore in society is not considered idolatrous. Afarani tachas ragle ha-be'er Moshe. Even though there is a Me'iri that says that, it's very hard to paskin lahalacha straight from one Me'iri that something that's folklore is not considered avodah zarah. So now what? Jewish people should start adopting. The Jewish people should start looking for coins on the end of a rainbow, because there's folklore that you're gonna strike it rich if you look for a pot of gold by the bottom of a rainbow. Or since when is folklore a reason to practice anything? Well, folklore is, it relieves anxiety. So now what? Let's say people say, you know, I have a very stressful week. I'm gonna watch the Super Bowl. I think that's more folklore than pouring lead. In any event, this is not a Jewish practice. It has nothing to do with Hashem. It has nothing to do with Torah. It has nothing to do with Judaism. And if anybody would come to me, I would say, pour yourself a cup of water, drink more water, because that definitely helps. The more water you drink, the more your systems will be flushed out, the more your anxiety levels will go down, the more your systems will operate. And it's Jewish to drink water. We make a shahakol niya bedvara, you make a bar nefashos. Pouring lead, no. It doesn't say anything about pouring lead in the Chumash, doesn't say anything about it in the Gemara, doesn't say anything about it in the Noisei Kelim, or in any of the Sifrei Yisrael. Why in the world would a Jew pour lead? No, stay away. Stay away. Don't forsake Judaism for folklore of the nations of the world. What about Kameis? Okay, here, just telling you before, everyone, go home today, gather up your Kameis, you'll bring it in next Wednesday, they asked Reb Chaim Knievsky, is it mutter?
What's Kameis?
A Kameis like this.
Oh,
an amulet. Basically, they write on like a parchment or on a piece of paper different names of Hashem or different mystical words.
Amulet?
Yeah, and people keep them around their neck, or they keep it on them, or they keep it in their car. A kameya is an amulet. So they asked Reb Chaim, is it mutter for a person to take a kameya to be matzliach in learning, or is it a chisarain? So Reb Chaim, don't take kameyas. Why would you have a kameya? For what? We don't take kameyas. Why would you take a kameya? You're Jewish? Your mother's Jewish? Then we stood on Har Sinai. God gave you a Torah. It has 613 mitzvahs. We also have the Mishnah and the Gemara. We have Torah Shebichsav. We have Torah Shebaalpeh. We have tzitzis. You know tzitzis? We wear a four-cornered garment with strings on it. We wear tefillin. We learn Torah. We do chesed. Jewish people don't have kameyas. If you want to start your own religion, this is the United States of America. It's a free country. You know, you could go up to Massachusetts or Plymouth or wherever you want. You could discover a new rock or a new item, and you too could create your own religion. But we're here, we're discussing Judaism here, okay? Why in the world would you have a kameya? Where'd it come from? I don't know. Somebody who needs money is selling you a kameya. You know, people need money, you know? So there are many ways to make money. Some people are doctors. Some people sell stock, yeah? So if you're a doctor, you're providing a service, and then people pay you, or you could bill their insurance. Or you could be a lawyer, you're providing people a service, they need advocacy. You could be an accountant, you could sell used cars, you could sell new cars, you could lease new cars. You're doing good things for people. I mean, or you could sell kameya. Here, you want to buy a used battery? Anybody who wants to buy a used battery, I, by the way, have the world's largest collection of used batteries. Do you know how chashuv a used battery is? You know what you could do? If you put your two fingers on it, it will energize you. It will energize you. What do you mean, but it doesn't work in the earpiece? It doesn't work in the audio? Yeah, but it's well known if you take your thumb and your pinky and you hold it like this, you're going to be energized. You're going to feel closer to Hashem. What's wrong with doing it? And I'm charging $1,000 a battery. What's wrong with doing it? Nothing wrong. First of all, you're a fool if you buy it. That's what's wrong. There's nothing worse than being a fool. Okay? There's a God. He gave the Torah to Jewish people. He gave us mitzvos d'oraisa, mitzvos d'rabbanan. He told us to put things around our arm. Why are you taking pieces of paper and then adding to your collection, you're keeping in your wallet? Like, that's going to do something for you. Come on!
You see these chamses, though, also are
that's not even Jewish. Well, yeah.
Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu have an image of a snake on his stick, and if you look at it, you get healed or something?
Yeah, so if Moshe Rabbeinu comes to you, and you're bitten by a snake, chas v'shalom, then he tells you to look at his special stick with a snake on it, then I authorize you to follow the advice of Holy Moses.
What do we need that for if you have the Torah?
Because God told him, you know God, the creator of the universe, he told him to use that item. Uh-oh. See, I don't want to cause any marital strife. I'm just giving a shear over here, you know? So, okay. Then they asked Reb Chaim Knievsky, you know, I mentioned in the last letter, is it mutter to take a kameya that's mukhsuk lahatzlach of a Torah? Or is it chisarn ba'amelos? And you told me not to take it. Do you mean not to take any kameyas at all? I know a certain koilo guy who's with me in yeshiva that he writes kameyos based on old svarim. And he even mentions his name. So Reb Chaim Knievsky said, Ayin b'sefer chasidim simen tav tav shin yodalet simen tav tav shin ayin beis. By the way, I'll tell you a story on the side. Bottom line is, this is off the record, even though we're recording it. There was a certain girl that was having a certain issue. She went to a makubal, and he gave her a certain kameya, and he became very disturbed. She became very disturbed. And so the girl went to Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel said, I don't know, what would he give you? She said, this Kamea, he said, flush it. He said, flush it. He said, most of this stuff in our time comes from the dark side. Most of, if it works, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, it's not coming from a good place. Anyway, back to the regular scheduled broadcast. So what did Reb Chaim Knievsky mean? Look in the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says in Ois Tav Tav Shin Yadalet. If some wise man tells you, he could be a Gentile, he could be a Jew, I'm going to write, now this is the Sefer Chassidim, okay? Very, very holy. The Sefer Chassidim is very holy. On the holy barometer, he ranks like all the way up there in terms of Kedusha. Holy, holy, holy. He's holier than holy. He says, if a Jew, a Gentile tells you, and write for you a Kamea, so you should be charming, or so that you should be listened to, or so that you should carry to be wealthy, not only is it usher to carry on Shabbos, because you're Mechalo Shabbos, says the Sefer Chassidim, it is usher to hold on to a Kamea during the week. Because now you're having bitachon in a piece of paper instead of having bitachon in God. And the Pasuk says, Tamim Tia. Tamim Tia means don't trust in things. Trust in Hashem. Daven to Him. And if He'll do what you want. And if He doesn't, don't think, if I'm not answered, so then I need to use an alternate route. No, you should think, if Hashem wants, He can answer my tefillah. You know what this is like? It's like you go to the king, and the king says, okay, if you want me to answer you, I need something from you. So you say, no, I don't want to give it to you, king. So now what, you're going to go to the servant and ask the servant to help you? You go to the king. If the king is not acceding your request, that means he wants you to improve in some area. Don't take an alternate route. And what's this other Sefer Chassidim that Reb Chaim Knievsky quotes? Says the Sefer Chassidim, the dark side only starts up with those who start up with them. Mazikim, Shadim will only start up with you if you start up with them. How would one start up with the dark side? Yeah, if you write a Kamea. If you're into Kameas, you're starting up with them. Or if you start getting involved in Kishuf. Or if your father wrote a Kamea. He could start, the dark side will start up with you also. You need to keep your family away from Kameas. And don't get involved with them. And don't say, I have to do it for Pikuach Nefesh. Nah, it shortens a person's life. It says, Tamim Tia and Hashem Lekecha. All you should do is daven and supplicate and rely on Hashem. Rely on God, don't rely on papers. So listen, like I said, it's a free country. Anyone's entitled to create their own religion. They could call the religion, not Judaism, paperism, you know, where the main religion is to hold on to scrolls of paper. God did not give us that religion. So as, you know, now they have this thing, real Yidden, right? Real Yidden. So real Yidden do not use Kameis. You're not allowed to. Simply, you're not allowed to. I don't care what country they used it. I don't care who you saw used it. Sefer Chassidim says, you're not allowed to use it. Reb Chaim Knievsky said, stay away. One last thing. Once we're on the topic of bad schoolers. By the way, did you see you saw the thumbnail? That was a good thumbnail. No? For tonight's share, that's a good thumb. Bad schoolers.
Two weeks ago on Tuesday, they were saying that if you say Parshas Haman, it's a schooler.
Who, me? You never heard me say Parshas Haman on a Tuesday. Now I never said it, and I never told anyone to say it.
It was going around.
Let me tell you something.
So is that wrong?
Yeah, well, for what? Why should you? One second. I have a question. Why should you say Parshas Haman on that day? Who decided that?
There's a sefer called Segulas Chasam Sofer.
I know. You could learn it. It's a very good thing to learn, but not to use. Avada, I have it. You gave it to me. I love the sefer, but don't. You could learn it. One second. You want to know about the Parshas Haman? Listen. Listen, the Shulchan Aruch says it's a good thing to say every day. It turns out they attribute it to Rav Nachman Mendel Rimanov. It turns out that he never told anybody to say it on Tuesday. What happened was he once told somebody on a Tuesday of Parshas B'Shalach to say Parshas Haman. And that was interpreted that you should say it on the Tuesday. Okay, if, you know, listen, it depends what else you'd be doing, you know. It depends what else you'd be doing. If you want to know, I could learn Baba Kama or I could say that. You know, it's Bittul Torah. You want to know, I would do that or speak Lashon Hara. So yeah, you should for sure do that. It's definitely better than speaking, because if you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to lose Parnasa. So by saying that, it's a segula for Parnasa, because you're not going to speak Lashon Hara. But does it say, let me explain something to you. God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, right? Jewish people, and he gave us 613 mitzvahs d'oraisa. He gave us Mishnayos, he gave us Gemara, he gave us all of the practices that are recorded in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, which includes Midos Tovos, which includes Yirat Shamayim. Other things are not part of the corpus of the Jewish practice. Do they hurt? The Deborah Tzina Rav says it's like Dvarim Hamoniyim. It's like, I have a question. Is a Jew allowed to go to the Super Bowl and wave, you know, the big finger? Go! Go Jets! Go! Not that the Jets would ever make it to the Super Bowl, but let's say you say, you know, I'm just saying theoretically, go Jets! Go Jets! Is that usser? No. Is it a segula for the Jets to win? I don't know, maybe Joe Namath will be inspired with energy because you say, go Jets! Go Jets! Could be. Now, you say, should I do that? No, you should learn Baba Kama. No, there's not part of the Judaism to do it. Is it usher to do that? It's not. It's like saying, it's not usher to wear glasses without lenses in it. Is it usher to wear glasses without lenses in it? No, you're just out of your mind, you know? Why would you do that? How is it going to help you? If there are no lenses in your glasses, you might as well take them off. That's what the Chazon Ish said. It's not my own. Chachma, yeah.
What about the red bendels that everybody...
At the Kotel, they sell it.
At the Kotel, they sell it?
The red bendels.
Yeah, yeah. By the Kotel, by Russell,
it's the biggest. It's a big skula. It's like you could buy the red thing, you could also buy the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, it's a big skula. You could buy... If you bought the Brooklyn Bridge, it's a skula for Ashiros. Like the red thing around your... Again, God gave us a Torah. There are 613 mitzvahs. I never got up to where in the Torah says you should wear a red thing around. Any other questions you want to ask tonight, you know? So, what?
I didn't want to start.
Okay, we'll stay. Not crazy, you know? So, okay, last thing. This is a letter to the Stipler. It's in Chilek Aleph of Kraina Digarta, Chilek Aleph Simen Samach. A young man came to the Stipler. We don't have the letter he wrote to the Stipler, but clearly this young man was suffering from some kind of psychiatric episode. Okay, he was having some type of emotional distress. And he basically didn't want to tell his parents because he was afraid it would cause them pain for them to know their son is suffering from emotional distress. And it seemed like he wanted to go to some quack or Baal Segula to... what? Yeah. No. Soon. Exercise? You know, to help him get tighten the screws a little bit. And the Stipler says to him, Stipler writes to him, that he does not recommend hiding it from his parents. He says when a parent sees that a child is in distress, they know something's bothering the kid. And if the kid is not telling the parent what's wrong, it causes great suffering to the parent, because the parents realize something is wrong, and it hurts them very deeply that the child is not telling them. And then in the end, the parents are going to find out, and the parents are going to be upset. You know, why didn't you tell us originally? There's, you know, we could have helped you out. So the Stipler says, don't hide it from your parents. You should tell them. You should tell them b'chachma. Don't tell them as in an alarmist way. You should tell them gently, as if you're telling them, you know, I'm suffering from X, Y, and Z. Make believe that it doesn't really bother you that much so that they don't have so much tsar, but don't hide it from them. But says the Stipler, chas v'sholom laleches lebalei segulais. Heaven forbid to go to people who are balei segulais. What are balei segulais? Balei segulais are... Do they know Shas? I don't know if they know Shas. You know, I never gave them a faher. We meet up again. You know if they know Gemara or not. Do they give a Gemara shir? No. They're busy. Oh. Do they know Shulchan Aruch? I don't know. I never faher them. Well, did the person teach Shulchan Aruch? That would be one way to know. No. He sees people. Oh, he sees people. And what does he tell them? He gives them things. He hands them things. He gives them special practices. These are balei segulois. We don't know if they're tamei chachamim. Says Stipler, heaven forbid to go to a balei segulois. Not only will they not help you, they're going to mess you up. Because they're going to get you so distracted with things that have no end. No, you didn't mix in the right ingredient. You didn't do it at the right time. Stay away from them. Says the Stipler, go to a doctor. Go to a doctor. Don't go to a psychiatrist. Don't go to a Baal Segula. The Chazon Ish never taught. Then the Stipler says, if you need the address of the hospital, go to Beis Cholim Walek of Shari Tzedek. Go to that wing of the hospital. The Chazon Ish send people to the hospital, not to Baal Segulais. Says the Stipler, you shouldn't feel bad if you have a certain emotional illness. Even if it is an illness, you'll take a medicine. Don't even consider it like there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a Ben Torah, you're a Ben Aliyah, you're Yare Shamayim, you're having distress, no problem. Talk to somebody, take a medication, stay away from stones, stay away from kmeos, stay away from all supernatural practices. You're a Jew. Jews are, you know, the Jews were willing to be Moiser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. Don't abdicate Judaism because the road is a little bit rough. This is a Mahalach of Reb Chaim Knievsky. Basically, Reb Chaim said, stay away from all of this stuff. So what are good segulais? Oh, Reb Chaim would say, you know, make Havdalah on wine. So the first thing sometimes you see people... My daughter comes and says, you know, I went to someone's house, they made Havdalah on orange juice. What is this? They're breaking their fast? Can't make Havdalah on orange juice. What in the world? What's Havdalah on orange juice? Where'd they get that? You can't make Havdalah on orange juice. You can't make Havdalah on coffee. Even on beer. You make Havdalah on beer if you live in Biafra and wine is not available. Make Havdalah on wine. The Gemara says you make Havdalah on wine, you'll have money. You are, Reb Chaim would tell people to wash for Malav Amalka. It's halacha. Wash from Alav Amalka. No, I'm not hungry. You would be hungry if you wouldn't eat Tayameh on Friday, and you wouldn't eat at the Kiddush Shabbos morning. And all you ate was, you ate a Friday night meal, a Shabbos morning meal, a little Shalosh. So you would be hungry. You would eat at the Alav Amalka. You weren't even hungry for Shalosh Shudas because you ate so much Erev Shabbos. You want children? Reb Chaim would say, you ready for this segula? Learn Torah. Learn Torah. One word of Torah is better than all the segulos in the world. You can learn Chumash, you can learn Rashi, you can learn Mishnayos, you can learn Gemara, you can learn Neviim and Ksuvim, you can learn Musar. I'm davening, my tefillos are not being answered. Great, next time somebody insults you, keep your mouth closed. What about making Havdalah on grape juice? Good question. You're allowed to make Havdalah on grape juice. You're allowed to. It's a hiddur to make it on wine. It's not halachically required. Reb Chaim personally was makbid on wine. according to Ramosha, you can make.
It's a segula to make it on wine.
That according to Reb Chaim, it would be a segula because it's a hiddur in the yayin. Or Reb Chaim would say, for children, to make yourself humble. Make yourself humble means somebody insults you, keep your mouth closed. These are all valid skulos found in Chazal. But stones, kmeos, lead pouring, tell your cleaning ladies all about these things and they could go home and do it in their own homes if they're not Jewish. If your cleaning lady is Jewish, then don't tell them about it either. You know? Anyway, these are a little bit on the pasuk Verapoi Yerapei. So Mikan Shaniten Rashus Laroife Larapois. Have a great evening. I hope you come back next week.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.